Will you turn in your Bibles to Psalm 107? It's a long psalm, but I'm going to read it. I ought to just say, I take some medication. I have no idea which one it is because I take so much. But one of them dries up my mouth. So every few moments, if you see me sitting, I'm sorry. But otherwise, I'd be choking, I think. So Psalm 107. And we're going to look together at this psalm. And when we have the sermon, it'd be good to have the psalm open. But let's read it together. O give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endures forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he has redeemed from the hand of the enemy, and gathered out of the lands, from the east and from the west, from the north and from the south. They wandered in the wilderness in a desolate way. They found no city to dwell in. Hungry and thirsty, their soul fainted in them. Then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them out of their distresses. And he led them forth by the right way, that they might go to a city for a dwelling place. Oh, that men would give thanks to the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. For he satisfies the longing soul and fills the hungry soul with goodness. Those who sat in darkness and in the shadow of death, bound in affliction and irons, because they rebelled against the words of God and despised the counsel of the Most High, therefore he brought down their heart with labour. They fell down, and there was none to help. Then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and he saved them out of their distresses. He brought them out of darkness and the shadow of death, and broke their chains in pieces. Oh, that men would give thanks to the Lord for his goodness and his wonderful works to the children of men. He has broken the gates of bronze and cut the bars of iron in two. Fools, because of their transgression and because of their iniquities, were afflicted. Their soul abhorred all manner of food, and they drew near to the gates of death. Then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and he saved them out of their distresses. He sent his word and healed them and delivered them from their destructions. Oh, that men would give thanks to the Lord for his goodness and his wonderful works to the children of men. Let them sacrifice the sacrifices of thanksgiving and declare his works with rejoicing. Those who go down to the sea in ships, who do business on great waters, they see the works of the Lord and his wonders in the deep. For he commands and raises the stormy wind, which lifts up the waves of the sea. They mount up to the heavens, then go down again to the depths. Their soul melts because of trouble. They reel to and fro and stagger like a drunken man and are at their wit's end. Then they cry out to the Lord in their trouble, and he brings them out of their distresses. He calms the storm so that its waves are still. Then they are glad because they are quiet, so he guides them and to their desired haven. Oh, that men would give thanks to the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. Let them exalt him also in the assembly of the people and praise him in the company of the elders. He turns rivers into a wilderness, and the water springs into dry ground, a fruitful land into barrenness. For the wickedness of those who dwell in it, he turns a wilderness into pools of water, and dry land into water springs. There he makes the hungry dwell, that they may establish a city for a dwelling place, and sow fields and plant vineyards, that they may yield a fruitful harvest. He also blesses them, and they multiply greatly, and he does not let their cattle decrease. When they are diminished and brought low through oppression, affliction and sorrow, he pours contempt on princes and causes them to wander in the wilderness where there is no way. Yet he sets the poor on high, far from affliction, and makes their families like a flock. The righteous see it and rejoice, and all iniquity stops its mouth. Whoever is wise will observe these things, and they will understand the loving kindness of the Lord. Amen. What a great psalm. So Psalm 107, if you can have it open. Somebody said, some wit, if you want to find gratitude, look in a dictionary. And I want to really think a little bit about this whole theme of thankfulness and gratitude. It's often said that thinking comes before thanking. But I wonder how much we thank. Therefore it makes you wonder how much we think. So 10 lepers healed by the Lord Jesus. And only one goes back, and not the one you'd expect. Only one goes back to give thanks. Why was that? Where are our thoughts of God if we don't find ourselves thankful? Interesting verse in Romans chapter 1. When they knew God, They glorified him not as God, neither were thankful. So you forget God, and then you forget to give thanks. If we just stop for a moment and think about ourselves and all that God has done for us, he's clothed us, he's kept us. We may have had our ups and downs and various battles and difficulties and all the rest, but nevertheless we're here and we're rejoicing and giving thanks. And whatever responsibilities and circumstances we find ourselves in, I do believe there should be an attitude of gratitude, an attitude of thankfulness. So Psalm 107, it's the third in three psalms, a trilogy of psalms. Psalm 105, the people are given the land. The Israelites given their promised land. Psalm 106, the people are now dispersed over the land. And then we come to Psalm 107 and we find that, yes, they're gathered and they can look back on the deliverance that God has given them. And it should be one of thankfulness. But I don't know whether you noticed, but as we were reading, two verses are repeated four times. And there are four sort of lovely pictures that are found in this psalm. We're going to look at them. The first one, verses 1 to 8, breaks up very nicely in our Bibles. It's the picture of a wandering traveller needing direction, but finding the guide. Each of these stanzas, if I can put it like that, is in five parts, and this one is. So you find trouble is pictured and portrayed. They're in difficulty. So then prayer is made, and God answers that prayer, and he gives help. And then there's thanksgiving and praise to God. Either a reason for it, such as in verse 9 and verse 16 rather, or an appeal is made that they might give thanks, such as in verse 22. So reason for it, verse 9, for he satisfies the longing soul and fills the hungry soul with goodness, verse 16, for he has broken the gates of bronze and cut the bars of iron in two. Or an appeal is made to let them give thanks. Look at verse 22. Let them sacrifice the sacrifices of thanksgiving and declare his works with rejoicing. We all face circumstances in life that we didn't expect. We don't know to what today will bring. We don't know what tomorrow will bring. Things just happen. I was at a funeral in Pontefract on Friday. It was a wonderful Christian funeral. It blessed me immensely. But then just afterwards, just shocked to hear that a friend of mine, just over a week ago, playing table tennis, don't know why he was doing that, but there we are, and bent down to pick up the ball, the little tennis ball, and he just collapsed. And last Sunday he went to be with the Lord. He didn't expect that. He went to play table tennis and just suddenly taken. We never know what life's going to bring for us. I'm sure many of you have heard this wonderful quotation of Matthew Henry. Matthew Henry lived in the 1600s. He lived over in Cheshire. You can still go and see his pulpit, which is in the most awful building, but nevertheless, there's his pulpit. And of course, he's famous for writing the Matthew Henry commentary that people still love today. There was an incident when he was robbed by a highwayman. Now imagine that, how terrifying. You don't know what's going to happen. He was robbed by a highwayman. And he wrote in his diary that night. Now think about this. This is what he wrote. Let me be thankful. First, because I've never been robbed before. Secondly, because although they took everything, it wasn't much in the first place. Thirdly, because although they took everything, they didn't take my life. And fourthly, listen to this. Because it was I who was robbed. And not I who was robbing. Wow. Thankfulness. Or Roland Bingham, the founder of the Sudan Interior Mission, wonderful missionary man, was involved in a car crash in Africa, taken to hospital. He was unconscious for a while, but eventually regained consciousness, was looking around, trying to understand where he was and what had happened. He said to the nurse, "Where am I? What's happened?" And she said, "Mr. Bingham, you've been involved in an accident, but you are going to be all right." And he just interrupted. Can you imagine this? And he said, "Accident? Accident? There are no accidents in the life of a Christian. This is just one more incident in God's perfect leading." Well, what must it have been like if he hadn't had an accident? You know, but it's this attitude of thankfulness. I wonder how thankful we are with everything that happens. When our children were young, And I wouldn't have dared say this if they were here, but they're not. So when our children were young, we sort of faced a bit of a problem of grumbling. It's an interesting concept, is grumbling. It's so easy to grumble and be dissatisfied and find fault. So as a family, we introduced something called grumble points. And every time you grumbled, you got a point. And the one who got most points at the end of the day, they were the losers. Whether they grumbled about it or not, I don't know. But I ask yourself, I wonder how much you grumble. I wonder how much you criticize compared with how much you give thanks. Well, here is the psalmist going through a difficult terrain, having this journey which he's finding very hard. So what does he do in verse 6? He cries out to the Lord. The Lord delivered him. And verse 8, oh, that men would give thanks to the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. As you're going through the journey of life, whatever a doctor might say to you tomorrow, whatever a letter or an email might convey to you tomorrow, whatever situation just seems hard, let's learn to be thankful. I really mean it. An attitude that's, it's not undiscerning, but it's thankfulness. We're told in all things to give thanks to the Lord. It doesn't say for all things, but it does say in all things to give thanks to the Lord. Then the second picture, this is verses 10 to 16, is of a needy prisoner looking for freedom and finding a deliverer. This time, it's not circumstances that are causing the person problems, it's sin. Now we are all sinners. The funeral I was at on Friday was the most wonderful godly man. Some of you will know the name Bill Dyer. He came from the southwest up to Pontefract in the early 1980s, went to a tiny congregation, well, a big building, but a small congregation in Pontefract, and began to preach the gospel. Literally, I'm not exaggerating, literally hundreds of people were converted in the 80s and the 90s. And this church, which was basically empty, became full of Yorkshire miners and locals. It was an amazing sort of mini revival for a few years. I was very taken by the prayerfulness of the man. Very, very prayerful. And his son, who gave one of the eulogies, said whatever he was doing at 9 o'clock, you'd see him slip off to his room and he'd there just go and pray. And he prayed about every member of the congregation. He prayed about Pontefract. It was a wonderful tribute. It left me very challenged. But as it happens, I was to give a tribute as well. And I just threw in this sentence because I think sometimes we can eulogize about the people who have gone. I said, look, he was a sinner saved by grace. And no matter what great things somebody might accomplish, we're sinners, aren't we? And here, it's a sinner, got himself, herself into real trouble, finds himself in prison. So what did he do? Well, look at verse 13. They cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and he saved them out of their distresses. And then look at verse 15. It's the second time it's found here. Oh, that men would give thanks to the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. Wow, sin? It's serious? And yet we have an answer. Now the psalmist here would have to look forward to the coming of the Lord Jesus. We look back and think, oh, he's died. He's borne our sin. He's provided a way of forgiveness. We've asked for forgiveness. We've asked for deliverance. And he has provided it. He has set the prisoner free. And what a wonderful thing to give thanks for. How often, day by day by day, do we simply give thanks for the Lord Jesus Christ, for what he's done to us, for what he means to us, how precious he is. It's a testimony of every true believer. There came a moment when we looked to Calvary and our sins washed away. It's a wonderful thing, isn't it? Let's rejoice in it. Let's be thankful for what the Lord Jesus Christ has done. And then the third picture, this time it's of an afflicted individual needing healing and finding a physician. Verses 17 to 22. Again, there's repetition. In verse 19, they cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and he saved them out of their distresses. And then in verse 22, the same thing. Oh, that men would give thanks to the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. Sin It's a bit like a disease. It spreads, it debilitates, of course, eventually it kills. And we all face illnesses of one sort or another. I still don't like to think of myself as old. I keep reminding myself John Wesley never admitted he was old till he was 84. So I've still got, 63 years to go or something. And so I don't like to think of myself as old. But do you know, I went to watch Carousel on Wednesday in Yeadon, and you saw all these young people with all the energy to act this musical. I thought, oh wow, I wish I'd got that energy. Well, I don't anymore. We face illnesses, don't we? We face weakness. We find ourselves losing, the fun and the activity, the enthusiasm of life. God's diagnosis is always accurate, but he can heal every wound. He is able to deal with our situations, and even if we're in our lowest state, he can give his presence in a very real way. On Friday as well, it was a busy day. I went to see a man I knew very well, I'd done a lot of mission work with, but Alzheimer's has just taken away everything. He just lays there, he couldn't speak. He did recognize me, but that was it, and he doesn't say anything all day. He has to be hoisted into a bed, and then out of a bed into a chair, out of a chair into a bed. That's his day. Can the Lord minister to a man like that? Can he speak to his soul? Can he give him a sense of rejoicing? Can he give a man like that an attitude of thankfulness? The answer has to be yes. I don't understand how, but he ministers to the spirit in our deepest weakness. Many years ago, I was 17 years of age, and I arranged for a coach to go from Bursell and Batley in West Yorkshire to go to Harrogate to an evangelistic meeting there. And somehow we managed to fill it, and we went. And there was a girl there that eventually I was to marry. I don't mean Dot, I mean I was to take the marriage service of. And she was converted that night, Lynn. And eventually she was to marry a man who professed to be converted at one of my missions. So it was very encouraging to be able to speak at their wedding. And then she was diagnosed with multiple sclerosis. And when she told her husband, who was an elder of the church, and as I said, supposed to have been converted at a meeting, he just said to her instantly, "I'm not living with this." And he just left her with her two daughters. She slowly lost physical abilities and eventually spent 27 years lying in a Leonard Cheshire home in Cleckheaton, slowly losing every ability. And I used to pop and see her, and she was just laying there, and eventually she got to the stage, she couldn't even speak. She was radiant, absolutely radiant. And she's always left me very challenging, because whenever I'm debilitated or feeling weak, I'm not very radiant. I get grumble points. But no, she just shone for the Lord Jesus Christ. It made me learn the lesson. Do you know, sometimes God allows us to suffer pain that in our weakest situation we can still glorify him. And here is this person needing help, seriously ill, and yet finding a physician and finding reason to give thanks to the Lord. He can heal the broken heart. He can heal the broken body. But even if he allows to go through the depths of suffering, his footsteps are in the sea, and he takes us through it. He doesn't leave us. He goes with us. He carries us through. And he promises us to give us sufficient to give him thanks, whatever our fractured life might feel like. And then the fourth picture, verses 23 to 32, and I think this is so dramatic. This is a picture of a storm-tossed seaman needing calm and finding the storm stiller. Let me read it again because I just think it's so wonderful. 23, I just think it pictures it. If ever you've been in a storm at sea, those who go down to the sea in ships, who do business on great waters, they see the works of the Lord and his wonders in the deep. For he commands and raises a stormy wind, which lifts up the waves of the sea. They mount up to the heavens. You can imagine this. They go down again to the depths. Their soul melts because of trouble. They reel to and fro and stagger like drunken men and are at their wits' end. Wow. Things may well happen to us this year that we never imagined. Some of you know my mother grew up in Lebanon and I visited there a couple of years ago. I went round the Armenian quarter and saw these little Armenian shops and all the rest, and two cousins live there. And a bomb fell on there, on that very quarter, on Thursday. Can you imagine that? You're living in your flat, your home, and suddenly. The depths that we have to go to, yes, we have the heights, they're wonderful. Well, sometimes they can be dangerous. I don't know whether you know the name Martin Rickcart. I wouldn't know it, but I know what he wrote. He was a pastor in Germany in the late 1500s and into the early 1600s during the 30-year war. All the pastors in his locality were killed, every one of them. So he had to take the funerals of the people who were not only dying because of war, but because of famine and because of plague that was spreading. He did 1,500 funerals in a week. Can you imagine that? And it went on week after week after week. He took the funeral of a couple of his children. He took the funeral of his own wife. And whilst he heard fighting outside his house on the street, he sat down with his remaining children and he prayed. And his prayer, he wrote into a hymn. He wrote many hymns, but this is the one that has remained, really. I understand after A Mighty Fortress Is Our God, which is the most popular hymn in Germany, this is the second most popular hymn. Think again who wrote it and let me read it. Now thank we all our God with hearts and hands and voices, who wondrous things have done, in whom his world rejoices, who from our mother's arms hath blessed us on our way with countless gifts of love and still is ours today. Oh, may this bounteous God through all our life be near us with ever joyful hearts and blessed peace to cheer us and keep us in our peace and guide us when perplexed and free us from all ills in this world and the next. All praise and thanks to God, the Father now be given, the Son, and him who reigns with them in highest heaven, the one eternal God whom heaven and earth adore, for thus it was, is now, and shall be evermore. What right have we to grumble and moan and feel woe is me and go on pity parties when God has done so much for us and given us so many great things in abundance? We live in a fallen world and we know it's tough. We do know it's tough, but nevertheless, so much for which to be thankful. And if we don't even feel we can be thankful for our present situation, let's look forward to glory, when we'll be with the Lord Jesus, enjoying him, serving him, being with him, worshipping him for all eternity. What a wonderful thing to look forward to and anticipate. Finally, these last few verses in Psalm 107. The psalmist is sort of reflecting verses 33 to 43. He speaks of soil to begin with, and then of the soul after the soil. He speaks of barrenness and fruitfulness, verses 33 to 38. He speaks of confusion and then prosperity, verses 39 to 43. He speaks of God able to turn good into bad, verses 33 and 34. He speaks of God able to turn bad to good, verses 35 to 36. He speaks of bringing the mighty low, verses 39 and 40. He speaks of exalting the lowly, verse 41. And he does all of this for his glory and for our good. According to verse 43, let's look at it. Whoever is wise will observe these things and they will understand the loving kindness of the Lord. According to that verse, if the duty of praise is neglected, God is defrauded. I think it's very challenging. So how much do I just stop and think and praise and give thanks? Do I find myself like Bill Dyer just sneaking off just to have some time of prayer and praise? When I open my eyes first thing in the morning, is my first thought to praise God, to thank He's kept me through another night, He's giving me the opportunity of another day, every day I have on earth is given by the King? And last thing at night, before I sleep, are my last thoughts to give thanks to God, to praise Him, to ponder the Lord Jesus and consider His great love? Gratitude is not only for the dictionary. It is to be the habit of our life. It's to come from our heart and our lips and to be the expression of our souls day by day. Amen.